Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hello everybody. It is Sunday and another Sunday, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters with Gwendolyn Berry. That's me. I'm down in South Florida, and my co-host, Jack Jodell, he's up in Minneapolis. And
hello, everybody.
Wayne Johnson, who, Wayne, where are you this week?
I'm in Columbus this week, but, we're on the 4th of July weekend. I will be back in Maryland, but, yes, Columbus this week.
Okay. And I'd like to start out with something that I just walked into. We were talking about before the show began, but I went across the street. It is Sunday after all. We're doing some backyard stuff here in the neighborhood and whatnot, and I do live in the hood. Basically, I walked out the front door of Jeffrey's house to come across the street to my house to do the show, and there was a sheriff's car parked catty corner across the street to block the coming of the block beside us, any traffic through there, and he had his lights on, and the sheriff was standing outside the car with what looked to me like a MAC-10 with a big silencer on it. Basically, he was there to stop if the perpetrator they were taking down a couple of houses down ran in that direction. And the point I want to make here is that he had that gun out and laying on the hood of his, or the roof of his automobile, waiting for somebody to run with the gun. It was like he was going to use a gun. He wasn't going to stand there and say stop or chase after him. No matter what this person was, he had a gun in his hand already drawn and ready, and not just a handgun, but what looked like an automatic weapon that would shoot probably 7 bullets a second or something. I mean, it really looked nasty. And that's the neighborhood today.
Wow.
Well, he wasn't going to run after him because of the donut factor. And number two is, why have a really cool gun if you don't get a chance to use it?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
That was tongue-in-cheek, huh? That was a satirical comment from Columbus.
But we were talking about this, our good friend over at Roundtree 7 and out in Oakland, he works all week long to bring up the awareness of the injustice of police violence in this country, and especially in neighborhoods. And you could consider this neighborhood, because I know we're very multicultural here. We're in old Florida, close to the water, and the neighborhood I'm in has a lot of rental property in it. And it's intermixed with the residential. It's very old Florida. And what's beautiful about it is it's close to old downtown, which is very nice, and the water, the beach. But I guarantee you that this is going to be either a African-American or Haitian kid that they're, or man they're after, a man or woman that they're after, or a Maya or Mexican person. This is not your standard white American that they're going to have a gun drawn on.
That's
the point. That's the point. Everything old is new again, right?
Yeah, and when it comes to minorities, they shoot first and ask questions later. And, you know, they could maybe justify it by saying their lives are in peril, too, because you never know if it's a dope dealer, if they're going to be armed. But, you know, they're ready to pounce. That's the whole point. And I don't know that that's such a good thing.
No, I can understand that the police have to protect themselves.
No doubt.
I've lived in this neighborhood now for 7 years. I'm part of the neighborhood community watch and all of that, the neighborhood group that works with the sheriff's department and the city commission. We meet once a month. I have seen violence on the street. But I haven't lived under the threat of it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not afraid to walk
right.
out of my house in the middle of the night and get in the car mm-hmm. or even walk down to a neighbor's house. I'm not afraid like that. And I'm aware that there is a lot to be concerned with, but I just don't get it. I don't get why it seems as if they're asking people to be violent when they approach it from that perspective. I
yeah,
don't know.
It's kind of like they're almost provoking it.
Yeah, that's my point.
They're overarmed, you know. They got massive firepower when all they probably need is a regular standard issue police gun.
Well, the good news is that I have not heard any gunfire outside.
Good.
And that's a good thing. But I still can't help but think of all the stories I have seen posted, especially by OSO and out there in California, about
mm-hmm.
unnecessary violence and the disregard for human life that some
mm-hmm.
police officers have proceeded with in their procedure, if that makes any sense at all. It just sort of
sure.
shocked me.
Well,
our sheriff
there's also the collateral. I'm sorry. There's also the collateral aspect. It was in New York. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something. You know, a perpetrator was in the city. All the police had him surrounded, and they just opened up, and I forget how many bullets they fired, or like 100 and some. They were wounding
wow.
people, innocent people,
yeah.
Walking down the street, and not one of the bullets struck the perpetrator.
Yeah, police riot.
Aren't you supposed to be trained in this? Well, at least one of them should have hit him.
Yeah.
You know, when you're slinging that many bullets, but no, it was hitting innocent people walking down the street.
That's just wrong. I get out. But it's like we're talking about the drones. Our county already has drones, and I've seen them when I was living across the street. I remember them coming slowly over our backyard in the evening at night. I was in, like, it took me so long to figure out how to say hot tub, but that's where I was.
Uh-huh.
And it's like that article going around right now about Facebook and deleting it because they can hear everything you're saying and see everything you're doing. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it's basically what they're telling you in technical speak is that your machines are possessed by the NSA
uh-huh.
now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, and it's like, oh my God, are they going to herd cats next? Come on.
I know, it's insane.
On the net, if you've been on the net, and if you enjoy the social networking or whatever, you're already out of that bag. I mean,
yeah.
Good part.
Yeah.
Well, Gwen, I think there's a simple cure for this, and that's just that you've got to stay out of hot tubs. Here there for some cheap thrills.
Wow,
no, I don't mean to make light of it, although I did. I don't mean
yeah.
to make light of it. It is a serious issue and an invasion of our privacy.
It is. And
yes,
so many
absolutely.
People are unaware. So many people unaware. I can remember how many years ago when David Williams was explaining listen, it's as simple as this. You go online to look up something about your cousin's open heart surgery, and
uh-huh.
they recorded it. You go to apply for your new medical insurance a year or 2 years later, and they find that in the folds of information there is for them to scan through corporately about you, and they deny you any kind of coverage. You
yeah.
know, based on an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think there is
yeah,
privacy anymore.
No.
I was gonna say it was about 10 years ago, I was taking a humanities course, and what was going on was the railroad company, Northern Burlington, up in the northwest area, they wanted all of their employees to take DNA tests. And,
oh my God.
You know, and the thing was, if you refuse to volunteer, quote, I'm going to say volunteer, for take the DNA test, then you could be fired. That was what was being mandated.
Oh, how utterly ridiculous.
That's illegal, isn't it?
And, well, the thing was, what they were looking for, they had so many, they wanted to bring down the aspect of carpal tunnel syndrome that was costing their insurance more and costing them money, that they were hoping to be able to search through DNAs to see if you were going to be susceptible for carpal tunnel syndrome, and then they could quietly shove you out the door before it set in.
That is so disgusting, but it's typical.
And the employees were said, no, we want it. You know, we don't want this to happen. You know, you're overstretching your bounds. And basically ended up in a court case with Northern Burlington's viewpoint was, we paid for the test. This information is ours. And these people volunteered.
They were forced into volunteering. I question the volunteering aspect of it.
Yeah, well,
they had no choice.
And the thing was, I will say, now this was, again, 10, maybe closer to somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago.
Wow,
the courts at
terrible.
That time ruled, no, you can't do it.
Right.
But so much of these laws have changed, especially with the 2004 all-Republican House and Senate and White House.
Oh, and the corporate Supreme Court we've got now.
They got those laws changed to say, yes, if the company paid for it, it's their information to do what they want. And because Northern Burlington was seeing it as a cash cow, because anybody then going out for a new job, and they would, you know, pay a fee to say, what was your findings when you did the DNA test on this person? What is his, you know, is there a heart attack potential? Is there cancer potential? You know, et cetera, that can be traced through DNA. And they were going to sell to potential employers and insurance companies.
Jeez. Well, it's not too surprising. They'll do anything they can. Corporations will do anything they can. They'll stab their mothers if it'll net them some extra profit. They don't care.
Yeah.
All they want is profit. They don't give a shit how they get it or what injustices are done in procuring it. As long as it's gotten, that's all they care about.
Well, the deck is definitely stacked against the working middle class, the everyday people. Let's take, for instance, MCI. An everyday guy had a good idea of using cell towers for long-distance transmission because he was using them for radio communication with his truckers.
Mm-hmm.
Class action suit against the monopoly of AT&T. He won. MCI now, their stock was rising. It was a great idea. You know, of course, all your cellular phones are based on this technology.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, here comes a bunch of corporate raiders with junk bonds. They had this supposedly pretend money that was really based on nothing, did a hostile takeover of MCI, threw the man who had the original idea out. Then they started raping off all bonuses for themselves and took all the scams and basically bankrupted the place.
Oh,
now,
anybody
who had their retirement in there, lost everything, the ones that walked away were the corporate raiders.
Oh, yeah.
And it was legal.
Yeah, that's a pathetic thing.
Franklin Roosevelt, back in the 30s, said, a man can break into a boxcar and steal the contents of that boxcar. If he has a college degree, he can steal the... Oh, and once the guy broke into the boxcar, could probably serve 10 years for breaking and entering and theft. If he had a college degree, he could steal the whole railroad and not spend a day in jail.
Yeah, that's about what it's coming to. And he had the vision and the foresight to see it happening even back then.
Exactly. This was back in the 32, 33 time frame.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if either one of you has seen the Time magazine article on politics, the 2016 presidential election. They've got a headline out online, Hillary teases timetable for the 2016 decision. And apparently her quote is that before she she's going to wait until the midterm elections are over before thinking about running for president, but, quote, will be on the way to making a decision by the end of the year. Does anybody doubt that this woman is gearing up for presidential run?
I have no doubt.
None in my mind.
Knowing how the Clintons work, though, she's just being very cautious, and she's laying the groundwork, is what I think, because you know the minute she does declare, she's going to be hit with 10 tons of right-wing nonsense, and they're going to be throwing a book at her because they fear her. They can't stand her, even though she's pretty pro-corporate. But they can't stand the thought of her entering the White House. They hated Bill Clinton. He did most of their agenda. They still hated him, you know?
Yeah. Good point, Jack.
God, I don't understand these guys. They just want their own candidate, and that's the only person they want.
Well, and she's going to hit a lot. There are a lot of progressives and every radical I know
sure.
that are going to be against her, too. This is David's take on it. He thinks she's going to run, and he thinks she's going to get it, and I think he's pretty right about that.
I think she's going to do it similar to Harry Truman in that she's going to play off all the warring aspects that are against her, against themselves, and she'll emerge the winner. That's probably what she's going to do.
She's going to have a large group of she's going to have large money, not just her husband's, but she'll have large Jewish money because
she's
a Zionist. So, let me step back from that and just call her, you know, a warmongering Middle Eastern supporter of the old regimes. How about that?
And because of that, she'll have a lot of money from unsuspected places on the right that'll be up there because she'll be a staunch supporter of the military-industrial complex.
Yes, she will. She'll be absolutely. And she spent the last 4 years, well, not the last, but before last year, she spent 4 years on a plane continent hopping, doing all of the corporate tie-downs for this TPP treaty. And making
too bad.
Sure
I hate that idea, too.
The natural resources of the planet were tied into profiteering that would enable a greater longevity to the top corporations. And that kind of friendly way of saying what she has done is exactly what's going to turn around from my community, my political community. I mean, I don't see her going through this election without having to deal with certain factions of a crowd she thinks she can count on. I mean,
she'll wake up in a hurry on that one because every progressive I know of will be staunchly opposed to much of her agenda. And you know,
she will lie her way around it. They've always
Bill Clinton did too.
And people will buy into the lie for whatever purpose or reason they have for buying into it because they don't think it's going to work any other way and they want someone they're comfortable with or whatever the excuse is. It'll go down. And Crow is saying it, David's saying it. He's saying he thinks we're going to all be surprised to see how suddenly she becomes very progressive, just like we did in 08.
Oh, yeah. They always do that. They always do that. I'd love to see a woman in the White House, but I would so much rather see Elizabeth Warren be that woman rather than Hillary Clinton.
Did you see the live feed? Did you see her on? I gotta say, I've always liked Warren. But she's a compromiser because she has to be in the politics and in the academic community she's been in. I get that. She was on with, oh, God, what is his name? Kittery? David, write it out.
Bill Schaefer?
No, she was on with the guy who just wrote this wonderful book on economics that everybody's buying up right now.
The French guy.
She was on, and I watched. It was live feed from Huffington Post Live. She did an open discussion with him on Huffington Post Live. And it was she really has the right direction to work in to bring the, and please forgive my corny metaphor here, but to bring the ship of state, the bow, more pointed in the proper direction. She has wonderful ideas about how to start transiting our economic structure into one that is more for the community, more for people on the ground, and away
and less for corporate interests and corrupt bankers.
Yeah.
You know, she's in some ways she's kind of a modern day Frances Perkins, you know, FDR's labor secretary. And I like that. We need more of that in American politics, and I'd love to see her become even more influential than she already is.
Right. Well, Jackson, let me interject here.
I don't agree with everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The governor of Texas in Louisiana just won, hands down, the straw poll for their choice of being the Republican candidate for the Republican Party. Now, when you got that wing nut, that nut job out of Texas that's going to be the blessed son for the Republican Party, I don't care
Rick
who Perry? The Democrat could put in a trained monkey.
Oh,
that monkey's going to win.
Are you talking about that idiot that ran the last time that couldn't even
Rick
answer
Perry?
Questions?
That's the one. Right, he's down there. Right. He's winning conservative straw polls all over the country. And now, it doesn't say that, you know, now the thing is I don't know if Karl Rove is going to allow that to happen, but we will see.
Yeah,
no,
that's
really,
pretty nice.
Karl Rove's the one calling the shots, you know.
Rove wants to see Jeb Bush in that position. That's who's going to be put up against Hillary.
Yeah.
Want to lay some odds? Come on, I'll bookie this deal. I'm saying Jeb Bush and Krellis saying Hillary. Are you guys going to
I'm saying it's Hillary. I'm saying it's Hillary. She'll beat Bush.
Oh, it's definitely going to be Hillary. Now, who, you know, Barbara Bush, Mom Bush.
Rand Paul's
going to
try and make it, but he's
Jeb,
not going
to
make
please,
it.
Please, please, please do not run. Now, is he going to listen to his mom's advice? The mentally retarded son, W. Bush, didn't listen to his dad when he wanted to go into Iraq because his dad told him, don't go into Iraq. You break it, you own it. But,
his dad for not finishing the war.
Right, for not
making it go further.
Let me get this right. You guys are thinking that maybe the Iron Maiden and Kenneth Bunkport is going to convince the corporate worm, the son, to hold back from running, and Rove won't have any say in it. And, of course, Papa is a little bit – I don't think he ever could go up against her. And she's saying no go. You know, you might be right, Wayne. You might be right.
From the Republican perspective, that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Look, they've already got the money. They're already raking in all the deals. The deals were set up between Daddy Bush and the mentally retarded son.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the Bush family's doing very well. They would actually
be doing
detrimental to the family by having Jeb Bush run.
Right.
So, do you think that they're going to? Because Bobby Jindal's a joke.
Right. Absolutely.
So, do you
what
think
an absolute
perhaps,
joke?
Do you think perhaps that maybe, just maybe, they're going to try for someone like Marco Rubio?
Well, he's a joke, too.
He is.
He's an over-anxious little boy.
Yeah, but to be perfectly honest, he would be much more palatable than Governor Texas Nutjob.
Yeah,
right.
That guy's nuts. Yeah, he's out of his mind.
Rove is still...
And let's face it, unqualified.
Isn't
Carl? Well, he's not qualified to run the state of Texas. He just had it, you know, bequeathed to him.
Yeah.
There's somebody running against him right now, isn't there?
Oh, he's out after this year.
This is his last term. He's already done his two terms.
Oh, okay.
That's why he's got his eye on the presidency.
Well, they're beating some woman out there up. But, you know, do you all remember a lady named Ann Richards?
Oh, I sure
yes.
do.
Grand lady.
Yep.
Yeah. She was pretty cool. I like Ann Richards. I always did. I enjoyed her.
I'll never forget that quote about George Bush. She said, "He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth."
Yeah. That's when at least Texas had some semblance of normalcy.
Right.
My friend and blogger out of the southern part of Florida goes by the Progressive Professor.
Uh-huh.
His projections of what he's looking at is by possibly 2016, but definitely by 2020, Texas will be a blue state.
Yeah, I've heard that said, and there's evidence, strong evidence in that heading in that direction. And that's good.
Exactly. Absolutely.
They got to get rid of these bottom of the barrel nut jobs.
Have you guys ever been to Texas?
Oh yeah.
Well, how can
I'm
you?
I'm thinking.
I've been through Dallas and I've been through Houston.
Texas,
I don't like either one of
Texas
them.
Texas ain't no state. Texas is a country.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Right. Very true.
And they can leave anytime they want.
Yeah, Texas, we should let them go.
I was going to say, I'm encouraging that fact.
It's a beautiful state, and they've got.
Well, here's a bit of information a lot of people don't know. As far as the electrical transmission grid, the electrical infrastructure grid,
mm-hmm.
Texas is self-contained.
Interesting.
That's not
because if they want to decide to become their own country, they aren't subservient to Louisiana or Oklahoma or anything else for their
mm-hmm.
electrical generating power. Of course,
no
now,
wonder
Rick Perry
is flirting with seceding again.
Well, and the thing is though, the consequence is, the electric rates down there are a lot higher than any other place in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the real estate is really cheap.
Well, yeah, it's just desert crap. I mean, you know, you need 1,000 acres to feed one cow. I know I'm not standing on the sideline saying, that's not having me some of that.
These are the suggestions for a Republican nominee that David has thrown out there. It's Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, Rand Paul, and Paul Ryan.
They're all bad. all terrible.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Okay, I got that.
That Ted Cruz, he's another wacko. He is really whacked and self-centered as hell.
You know, yeah. Wayne, you're saying that Texas is basically a entity unto itself, but the truth is that, like you just said, there is still a lot of cattle in Texas, a lot of animals, but all Oklahoma has to do is dam up the river and they're done.
Oh, well, the thing is they, because of the climate change, Texas is going through a severe drought,
mm-hmm.
and it's blowing away now. Basically, they're getting their own little dust bowl to themselves because
mm-hmm.
of the ignorance of the oil corporation funding of there's no such thing, global warming's the biggest hoax put on the American people, all that kind of crap, right? Well, that's what they're selling, and so let them suffer the consequences.
Well, hopefully that dust bowl will consume both Ted Cruz and Rick Perry and get them the hell out of our country.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Well,
of course,
I don't understand how any serious political strategy for presidential nominee could actually include Bobby Jindal. I mean, I don't get that. But then
that shows their diversification.
It's a
compassionate diversification.
Oh,
we accept
crap.
All. Provided they're spilling the same kind of crap.
Actually, Texas is having a water war with Oklahoma, suing for water rights in Oklahoma. This is, of course, all being given to us via the chat by David Williams.
Hey, David,
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Very good.
Oklahoma's getting scary. I've been reading things happening in Oklahoma that are just like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I know. They're wacko, too. Certain ones are bad. No doubt.
Well, the company that I work for has an office in Tulsa, again, you know, improving and hardening the electrical infrastructure grid.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, you know, it'll run up to the border, but it cannot go into Texas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
So you, it's pretty accurate to say that it's going to actually come down to it's going to actually come down to Hillary, and Chris Christie's kind of blown his
that was a self-inflicted stupidity.
Yeah.
And thank you, David, for bringing that up. Yeah, Chris Christie.
Although he is certainly self-centered enough and brazen enough to compete, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going to get through the primaries with it. So.
No.
How can he compete without? Because they'll what do you call it? What is it called? Gunboating?
Swift boating.
Swift boating. Yeah, they'll swift boat him. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll swift boat.
They'll call him a northern liberal.
Yeah.
And he's not.
Oh, are you sure, Jack? Are you really sure?
That's what they'll do, though. You bet.
That's interesting. And I guess that Jindal's shown up in the press in the last couple of years as a crook. Rick Santorum is a whack loon, and Scott Walker has too many enemies now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the Koch brothers to do? I mean.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Invested all this money and nothing to show for it.
Well, they could just keep staging those secret shows and inviting all kinds of idiots to them. And, you know, as long as they're only doing that and that's all the effect they're getting from it, that's just fine with me. Those guys are dangerous.
Yeah.
And they're dirty, dirty players.
All of this is the John Birch Society, which was the old rebirth of the Klan, all just being rehashed, called the Tea Party.
That's exactly right. Yep.
It's all one and the same. Same group, same demographic.
Same mentality. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's another shift to the middle, huh?
Yeah. Well, and today, unfortunately, there's no William F. Buckley Jr. to get rid of the guy.
Well, that or even Edward R. Murrow.
Barry Goldwater.
What a wing nut that was, too.
Yeah, but he was...
As a matter of fact,
I had somebody...
Go ahead.
He was at least superior to these Tea Party guys.
I love the fact... As a matter of fact, somebody, a Tea Party, was on a blog and trolling kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he quoted Barry Goldwater saying... something towards the boarding of conservatism is no vice. Trying to be conciliatory is no virtue or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
He quoted that, and I said, and that's why that quote there alone exposed that man's lunacy, and that's
mm-hmm.
why he lost by. You know, double
record
digit plus
LBJ.
Record numbers and things. Because, and I keep saying, that's what was so brilliant about freedom of speech that our founding fathers insisted be in the Constitution. Because
mm-hmm.
it does such a good job to expose stupid.
It really does. Except when you have really stupid people out there who are deprived of knowledge by sources like Fox News, they're just misdirected and lied to and presented half-truths rather than the real thing, they draw these goofy conclusions, and that's next thing you know, they've spawned a Tea Party.
Yeah, well, again, that extremism of the reactionary right,
mm-hmm.
because of its extremism, will have no longevity. It'll do damage, but it has
right.
no longevity.
Yeah, it's just,
now,
you
like
hate to see it creating any victims in the meantime, but unfortunately it's out there, and they do that. It's typical of them.
You brought up a very good point. Michelle Bachmann was on Fox News, and she was, you know, ranting about how we've lost our way and we're no longer, you know, the country that we should have been. We needed another good president like Benjamin Franklin. Quote, unquote.
Oh, she is so nuts.
That was
she
live
on
Fox News.
If he was alive
podcast.
Today, If she was alive today, she'd be decrying him as a non-Christian loser and, you know, just a radical crazy man. No, she is nuts. She is lock, stock, and barrel nuts.
One thing was, who the hell told this goofy twit that he was president? I mean, where did she get that?
Well,
did she get her information from Sarah Palin?
I thought you meant she said we need a president like Benjamin Franklin. Like
Benjamin Franklin was one of our founding father presidents, is what she was saying.
Yeah, that's more like her. Yeah, that makes more sense. Well, she's so damn dumb. You know, we can say it now. Plus, she'll be retired come January. Thank God for that.
Gentlemen, CNN and Fox News and even MSNBC have significantly less viewers in the last 8 months than ever before, especially Fox News. And there's some banter on back sheets that is talking about how people, and I can say I do this a lot myself. If I'm going to watch television entertainment, I will watch my local news occasionally, like maybe twice a week. But I read most of my news online. I marathon watch stuff anymore because of the on-demand features of cable and Netflix and all of that.
Well, that's going to be the future of all of it anyway.
Yeah.
I think maybe you got a point there.
And like Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman's very good source of stuff. It's factual. It's not.
I count that as for me, that's online news.
That's the type of stuff I see on free speech TV.
Yeah. Well, with regards to Fox News, Abraham Lincoln summed it up best. He says, you can fool all the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you'll never fool all the people all the time.
Yeah,
Fox News is exposing themselves for being just as biased and lunacy as some of their supporters and the people that they have on.
Well, they're the propaganda organ of the Tea Party is what they are.
Exactly.
Yep.
They're very much like that, but they're, you know, there are a lot of people. There are too many people watching it, really, and believing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, though. Of all the cable news channels, they draw the most of all of them. Now, together, the other alternatives may outdraw Fox. I can't remember what the numbers are, but I know they are the leading cable news watched news channel, so-called news channel.
You know,
they've always been ahead of MSNBC. They've always been ahead of CNN, and you know.
Well, as David's saying, they have no credibility. They're one note news.
Exactly.
Like going to the Cracker Barrel, and the only thing left on the buffet is gravy. Eventually, you get sick of it. Has anybody tuned into online? I know you've been off, Jack, but you definitely got to check it out, and you can find the latest or the first installment over on RT, Russian television, RT.
I've seen snippets from stuff, and it looks very good. I wish I had that. I don't, but I'll look it up online.
You can find it online, but what I'm talking about is over there, our friend Lee Camp has a new show.
Yeah.
He's got a new show. It's a political comedy. It's sort of like Bill Maher. And it's really great. And you can find it online. He posts it online. And you can find it up over. I'll be posting it at the Commons Project Network. His first installment is really great. I love to see Lee and also remind folks that Dennis Traynor Jr. is out there with with his acronym now as a half-hour show with the good Lord, I am forgetful today. It's these antibiotics. But the point is that Dennis Traynor Jr.'s acronym television, it has now got, he's doing 30-minute reports, shows, and they're also up over at commonsprojectnetwork.com. You find them there, as well as the posts from and radio shows. You can find the Sunday show there. You can find a Pinko the Bear show there. We've got a lot of people. We're also posting Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox
show. Good.
We've got a lot of people posting over there, Black Agenda Report, just a lot of stuff going on over there. Lee Camp, and I like what Krell says here. He says that Lee Camp reminds him of modern Will Rogers. He has the ability to get out the absurdity of the system with some thoughts and a bit of laughter. And really, that's what he does. Lee is an activist. He activates us with humor. You know?
Yeah, we've had him on the show a couple times, and it's been great.
Yeah, he's a wonderfully generous guy too. He'll give you time and attention, and so
great.
Is Dennis. So is Dennis Traynor, and he's doing great work. These guys are doing some really great work, especially Dennis Traynor. And Wayne, if you haven't seen Dennis's videos, you should check them out.
I'll do that. I was going to say, you piqued my interest in stuff. Absolutely.
They're absolutely great. They're absolutely great. Also, people ought to know that the organizers of the original Occupy movement in Zuccotti Park have turned their attention to creating a new political party. It's called the After Party, but you can find the information at OccupyWallStreet.org. I think y'all want.
Wow, so they've actually decided to field a political party. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to take a look at what Lee Camp is putting out there, you can go over to his site, too, which is leecamp.net.
Yeah.
There's some really great stuff there. Just getting the information out.
Yeah. See, has anybody heard from that fellow that lived in, I think it was Utah, that was battling leukemia? How's he been doing? Have you heard much from him lately, Gwen?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin,
Blanchard.
Yeah, he used to do the videos.
Yeah, he still is doing his video log, and
okay.
he has his own radio show these days too, which I can't recall the name of, but you can find, all you have to do is Google Kevin Blanch.
Okay, right.
And you will find Kevin. Kevin is doing wonderful. He's in remission.
Oh, great.
Yes, really beautiful since his daughter has had some new grandchildren to bring into the world.
Oh, good.
No.
He has been on top of the Fukushima information.
Right.
He is Miss Milky the Clown, and there are a couple others from that are blogging and video logging from Japan. They've got quite a little network going. You can find anyone who's interested. They can find Kevin Blanch on his Facebook page, and he updates it like a lot. And his video, his YouTube video channel, you can find it under Kevin Blanch. He has a lot of information. I will give you a warning, though. I guess you should, because he'll start out with, quote, you know, what the fuck are they doing now? He's basically, he uses...
Oh, yeah, he's adults-only language.
And I love it. I love it.
He's very passionate.
Profanity. He uses profanity as tools
very
to
passionate.
Grab attention and make it... He is extraordinarily passionate. He's also a very kind man. He's also a very artistic man. I mean, Kevin has a lot to share. He did a wonderful, when I first knew him, I got to know him after I watched his video on, he did a piece on the Triangle Fires in New York.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah, Triangle Fires, the sewing factory that killed all those young girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they locked the door on them.
Right, the 100th anniversary, he did a video log, a vlog on it, and it was great. he deals, I like what Kevin Krell has to say. He says that Kevin deals in profanity like an old master dabbles in oil.
Oh, I like that.
That's
very,
very
good,
cool.
David. Very, I like that. I'm going to write that down. I might have to use that.
That's a whole line. I like that. But it's really true. He packs a punch. Not everybody can take him because he really hits hard with what he has to say. But nobody, he feels as if nobody is effing listening, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a rant in a room somewhere.
Well, when you consider the fact that he's out there telling us that there's a real true global emergency happening.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's doing anything. And he thinks about his grandchildren having to bear the brunt end of it when they're
Mm-hmm. Jack, I had sent some articles that my oldest daughter sent me from the Johns Hopkins magazine because she had got her master's from Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And there was one of them, the last one I sent, deals with this of someone from Johns Hopkins, a mother of two, who was writing, you know, this insanity while, you know, you have the denier saying there's no global warming and stuff and the pollution of the water table through fracking or, you know, oil spills and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically she was saying, you know, is science going to be able to protect us and cure this? Is the, you know, this group going to be able to? Is basically mankind going to pull together with a true visual sanity of what's going on them or around them? Is this what's going to be, you know, correcting this? It was a very good article. So when you get your motor working, you'll be able to read it. It's very good.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that. Thank you very much. That's great. Yeah, there's a lot of intelligent reading out there, and some people prefer to watch Duck Dynasty and bullshit like that. So, you know, it's too bad. But there are so many good sources of information that's accurate and thought provoking and revealing that people just overlook or they just don't even bother to look into. You know, that's a shame.
Well,
Bill Maher, I sent this to Glenn and you too. It was a little video clip from Bill Maher from a girl who has a blog called Pennigma, just like the Enigma machine, but if you put a P in it, it spells pen. I've spoken about her before.
Pennigma. Oh, that's cute, yeah.
And anyway, basically he says, here comes Gunny Boo Boo.
Gunny Boo Boo, yeah.
Gunny Boo Boo, right? And it's these people who are walking into Wendy's and McDonald's and Chili's, right, with their AK-47 strapped to their body. And people have to understand that they're not there as a threat, right? These guns should not make the people in the restaurant feel uncomfortable. He said, and basically all these nut jobs have done is have the owners and the upper management of all these restaurants saying, you are not bringing your gun in here. He says, we can't get Congress to do that, but at least corporate America is saying, hey, get the hell out. You know, we're not going to bring any crap in here.
Yeah.
It's true. A lot of restaurant chains have banned any kind of weapons.
Good. There's no need for them in there.
Exactly. I mean, what kind of stupidity is that?
Here comes Gunny Boo Boo. I love it.
Here comes Gunny Boo Boo, Bill Maher's. You got to Google it. It's funny as hell.
It sounds good.
You know, it's all of the photographs, and I'm sure it's not contained to just the men, but all the photographs show men and young men doing this, mostly young men. And it's like, there's an old saying girls used to have about guys who had to, you know, show off.
Right. They're compensating for their own shortcomings.
Yeah.
Emphasis on short, okay? We got
that.
A guy. Right.
There
that's why he needs that AK-47 strapped to his chest walking into a restaurant.
Pathetic.
Yeah, like the guy who just has to have the Ferrari to drive, you know? Okay.
What a bunch of pin dicks. What a bunch of pin dicks. That's all I can say.
Are we allowed to say that?
Well, I guess I just did.
Yeah, okay.
We are.
I'm not offended.
This
being an old sailor, you fit right in.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Glenn. I am so please find in your heart to forgive me.
Well, excuse me. Am I not the one who said eeny, weeny, peeny? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Women can be perfectly clear.
Oh, I know that very well. You bet.
And David suggests that what kind of country is this when I can't bring my H and K when I buy my French fries? Or my
oh, that's right.
When I buy a gallon. Jeez.
Yeah.
One thing I thought we might top the hour off with, I don't know how many of you, I posted on social networks this week on the 70th anniversary of D-Day that my father was over there. He ran tanks for the Third Army, for General Patton. He got a bronze star from that general with him and his guys because they figured out to go and siphon out of the wrecked and destroyed vehicles. You know how much gas is left out? They did quite a job, I guess. And it wasn't very original, but they did it. And they got a bronze star. And my father he thought it was a very significant thing he did. My mother served the Navy and in Washington, where she swore you could place an enema and this country would feel it. But she was with the OSS in the Navy. She was clerical, but she wasn't declassified till 79 either. And
interesting.
They were veterans who served their country. And basically, I am a pacifist, and I don't believe in war, and I will do everything I can to prevent war, and I will be an activist against it. I protest. But I do think that I do respect and honor the service that my family has given and the service of people who genuinely are volunteering or joining for purposes.
And they're not doing it for profiteering reasons or anything like that, right?
Although in the last 20 years, I think many of the people who have joined the service have done so out of desperation. And
economic factor, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do mourn that. I do think what is, as we have celebrated this week, today is my mom's birthday. She would have actually been 91 years old. I went, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, fond thoughts of Gwen's mom.
Yeah, right there.
Well, welcome aboard. Thanks, guys. But here's
Well, obviously she raised her daughter well.
That's true.
You're kind. Thank you.
That's true. It's a true feeling.
She gave you a heart and brains, and what more can you get, can you ask of anybody?
There's no bigger gift. No bigger gift to your child.
A heart and brains. That's pretty doggone good.
Yeah, thank you. But my thing about it is, too, there's all of this going on about our vets. And did you know that 22 vets a day in this country who've come back from these wars are taking their lives?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yes.
22.
Yes. I was on the West Coast when Vietnam fell. I ended up with MIUW, Mobile Inshore Undersea Warfare. And then they sent me down to South America to prop up all those military juntas, like Pinochet in Chile and the general there in Argentina and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was, you know, a lot of guys just could not handle it. You know, once they got home.
Shoot, that's sailing through bad water, man.
I agree. Right. And unfortunately,
the era I was down there they're now referring to it as the lost children of Argentina because the military junta, you know, they had their Patriot Act where they could just listen to phone calls without any warrants, And if you said, you know, yeah, man, I really miss my freedom here and stuff, that was enough for you to be arrested in the middle of the night, and that's the last that your parents ever saw of that kid.
Yeah, but see, guess what? They arrested that son of a bitch in England, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're
talking about Pinochet?
Yeah, they got that son
yes.
of a bitch.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
right. Yeah.
Really, when they say that, you know, when you, I think you brought it up last time about Dick Cheney not being able to leave the country. The other
right.
son of a bitch, too. And the one sitting in the Oval Office, guys, the one sitting in the Oval Office. Afghanistan's on fire. Pakistan's on fire today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
No, literally, they're on fire today. They're under attack.
Uh-huh.
That was just before I came on the show. But, geez, I mean, geez.
Yeah. Well, you know, these people are depressed for the good reason. They grab them as idealistic young guys and, oh, yeah, you're going to serve your country and benefit and do all this stuff. And then they get over there and they see that, what is this? We're doing indiscriminate murder. We're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We're helping in massacres. We're droning people to death. I mean, and
mm-hmm.
why? I mean, how is that helping the country?
And mercenaries
yeah.
are getting paid more than they are. And mercenaries
yeah, exactly.
are getting atrocities right in front of the GI's eyes. And by the way,
right.
it's not just guys. It's
and then
gas.
They come back.
Oh yeah,
they may be injured.
Right.
They may be injured for life. Certainly, they're mentally affected. And they come
yeah.
back, and there's little employment for them. It's just, you know, we're at least treating them better than we used to. We're not spitting on them or any stuff like that, but there's nothing really here for them anymore. And they feel completely lost, and I can't blame them at all. And it's really a tragedy that so many are choosing
that,
to die.
It's not just that, Jack. Jesus, these guys are getting shuffled around on telephone calls trying to make appointments to get into the VA and get some help. They're not getting any goddamn help from this country.
No, none at all.
Well,
and
they got
locked in a bureaucratic snafu.
Well, let me interject this one now. My wife, I hope I'm not divulging too much, works for she runs the office for a medical doctor. They had this one guy come in, a Vietnam vet, and he wasn't a regular patient, or not one of their normal patients, but they saw him kind of as an emergency. And my wife is pretty jaded, but when the guy went to check out, she noticed that on his arms, it looked like somebody had just taken a butcher knife and cut out just big chunks of meat out of his arms.
Wow.
And it startled her.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed her kind of little shock, and he says, you know what that is? And my wife says, some kind of tumors, I would guess, or something. He says, yes. Said he was going to the VA with these tumors in his arm caused by Agent Orange when he was in Vietnam. And the VA doctors told him, oh, we don't know what it is. I wouldn't worry about it. We don't know what it is.
Oh,
and
my.
And he kept going back. And finally, there was another vet there that had a business card of a regular civilian doctor. He gave it to that guy, and he says, go see this doctor. He will tell you what it is. As soon
mm-hmm.
as he walked into that civilian doctor says, you have the tumors from Agent Orange. And they
uh-huh.
were, that's what those big cuts, they were just taking out chunks of meat that Agent Orange had just started cancerous tumors in his arms. Meanwhile, this is in the early 80s.
This is at the top.
Go ahead, Gwen.
We're about to go off the air. It's
oh,
really,
I'm so sorry.
I'd like to hear what you have to say, but we're about to go. Yeah, we got 1 minute. So.
Oh, you got 1 minute. Well, basically, the summation here was the VA was lying to them because they didn't want to spend the money to treat the man who had cancerous tumors from Agent Orange. It took a civilian doctor to basically face him and say, this is what it is. This is what caused it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the
That's
bottom
a shit
line.
Tragedy. Well, keep pushing forward, everybody. We can't let stuff
absolutely.
Like this lie low. We've got to highlight it and popularize it. Not popularize it, but let people know about it and change it. You know, that's what our
right.
goal is.
And
good show,
well,
Gwen. Keep up the good work.
Right. And I'll close with, you've got to get out and vote in this midterm election.
Yes.
for your candidates, because if you don't, someone a whole lot crazier than you will vote.
That's true.
Thanks,
so.
Guys. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You,
thank
Glenn.
You, Glenn. It was a good show.
We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Stay tuned.
And that is the conclusion of the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. Thank you for listening. Listen again. This has been sponsored by Roundtree7.com. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Good night, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Jack.
Bye-bye.